Hey there, welcome back. Today we are doing a marketing machine segment. So I am still like a heavy marketer in my business, and I am constantly working on systematizing that marketing and how I can take it to the next level, how I can lean into what's working. And I'm super excited because I have Travis Chappell on today. He has a really, he's a couple things going on, and I think you're going to enjoy it. We talk about the power of networking and how podcasting is absolutely one of those things that any type of business owner, any type, we explain in the episode, what kind of business. And we also explain two reasons you would want to either start your own podcast or guest appear on somebody else's show. No matter if you're a local business owner, an online business owner, it does not matter. It was such a good interview. My goal was to really just keep it at like 20, 30 minutes. And he just kept going and I just let him because I was eating it up. I mean, it was such a good reminder for me how I can lean in more and what I'm not maybe utilizing as much. And I'm excited to share this with you because I think a lot of people are using marketing when it comes to podcasting. They're just underutilizing it. They don't know how to utilize it, or they're wondering, I don't think I'm monetizing it yet, or I don't see the return. And he is going to share with you like how to look at it from a different perspective and what are other things you could be benefiting from having your own or being on other people's shows. So even if you're somebody that would be like, I would never have a podcast, I encourage you to listen just to hear his perspective because he was convincing me of things I never would have thought I would be considering. It was so good. Like it's one of my favorite episodes where I just like felt like I was almost watching versus interviewing. Like I was so engaged with the content. So I'm excited to introduce you. This is Travis Chappell. He is Guestio, I think his software is called, or how he pronounced it, I should say. We're going to talk more about it, but he's just an incredible, incredible interview, and I can't wait for you to listen. So enjoy. Business doesn't have to be as hard as you're making it. It's all about mastering a few key techniques, systems, and mindset. Welcome to Well-Oiled Operations. With over 2 million downloads, it's the go-to podcast dedicated to helping you increase your profit margins while getting your time back. I'm your host, Stacey Tuschel. I've been an entrepreneur for over 20 years, and I own multiple seven-figure businesses. Whether you're a brick and mortar or an online business owner, it doesn't matter. I've got both, and I'll show you my framework to get you more customers in the door, more profit in your pocket, and more happiness in your home. It's time to get your business less reliant on you. Hey, Travis, welcome to the show.
What's up, Stacey? Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I love the topic that we're going to be diving into today because I am a big fan of really building my network, and I've seen the effects of building my network. And I think a lot of people know they should, but they keep procrastinating doing it. So I'm excited to have you on. I would love for you to kind of share just a little bit of your background, your entrepreneurial journey, and then we'll jump in.
Yeah, sure. So kind of quick 30,000 foot view here. Grew up super religious. I thought I was going to be a pastor growing up. I committed to it when I was 12. And I, so in high school, never thought about anything else. I graduated kindergarten from the same campus I graduated college on. Wow. One campus, like one 40 acre campus that also was my church. So it was very much growing up. Like I call it a bubble. Yeah. Can't bring myself to call it a cult, but yeah. I do think that it was definitely a bubble because everything I knew was on this one place from the time that I was 3 until the time that I was 20, 21.
Yeah.
And when I graduated college, I started to realize that I didn't want to actually do the thing that I'd been training to do for the last 10 years and was kind of at a, you know, I don't know what to do with my life. I have an unaccredited Bible degree, which is even more useless than a regular Bible degree. And the only thing I really know how to do is door-to-door sales. Cause that's what I did in college to like make extra money. So I just did door-to-door. I just moved into door-to-door and did 100% commission door-to-door sales for a couple of years. And set a goal to make 6 figures. I did that my first year and then realized very quickly, first of all, how small amount of money 6 figures is. Yeah. And then secondly, I realized that I didn't want to be doing the same thing I was doing then when I was 32 as I was doing when I was 22. And so at that point, I was just kind of like another crisis mode. I don't know. Like now the thing that I'm qualified to do and have a degree in, I don't want to do. And the thing that I'm good at, I also don't want to do. I tried to get regular traditional, like more corporate type sales jobs. Nobody would give me a job. Apparently maybe I wasn't experienced enough or I hadn't worked long enough in the workforce or something. I always thought it was a mistake on their part. Cause I was like, I'm doing 100% commission door-to-door sales and I'm making six figures doing it. Right. If you give me leads in a company car, like I will crush it for you. Just give me a shot, but nobody would do it. So I was just like, man, what do I do? Came across personal development for the first time ever, got deep into like self-help and reading books, which was a massive change for me. If you knew me growing up at all, you would laugh. If I told you that I read a book, you'd be like, aha, yeah, seriously, what'd you do? You know? Mm-hmm. So I started reading books, listening to audiobooks, came across podcasts for the first time. Because I wasn't a big fan of reading, podcasting was a really good way for me to consume information. I liked the format. I liked the conversational style. I still got a lot of really great value from it. And then decided to start my own podcast. Podcast didn't do well at first, finally started doing well after a while of doing it. And so people started asking me how to do it, started doing coaching, consulting on podcast, on like basically helping entrepreneurs build profitable podcasts as arms of their business, did podcast production for a while. And then all of that led into what we're doing today, which is essentially a software company called Guestio.
Okay.
Where we help get big name guests booked on podcasts. And we also help guests get booked on podcasts for more exposure for their brand or for their company or for their book launch or whatever it is they're trying to get exposure for. So we have the software that does that. And then we have an agency on the back end that does that on a done for you basis for people who don't want to do the do-it-yourself version of the software.
Yeah.
And then I have my own podcast, Build Your Network, and then another podcast with my wife and my producer called Figuring It Out. That's the brief explanation of what's happened to this point.
Yeah. Well, I love it because it just shows like, there are twists and turns, but as long as you keep doing and trying and moving, you'll figure it out. Like you'll get to the end, or at least is there an end, right? We keep pivoting as we keep growing, but you just got to get started. And I think too many people are afraid to start without the perfect answer right this second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, totally. Yeah. People have this misconception that you have to meditate your ass off until you have enough clarity to take action. Yeah. And it's just never going to be the case. Action breeds clarity. Like clarity comes from action. Mm-hmm. And if you are just always sitting there on your hands waiting for clarity in order to take action, then you're just going to sit on your hands for your entire life because you're never going to have enough to take the action that you want to take. So just start, like, take action. Mm-hmm. Even if that action doesn't make anything useful for 6 months, the action of taking action is going to be useful enough for you. And that'll provide at least the next step in front of you. You don't have to see all the way to the end. You just got to see what the next step is. And the only way you know what the next step is if you take the first step, or else you're not going to see what the next step beyond the first step is.
Right. I love that. Now, as we're talking about building your network, where did you in your journey start building your network? Like where did that even come from for you to realize like, this is a skill set, this is something important for me to have?
So that was kind of the reason that I started the show, Build Your Network. Because when I started it, I was not starting the show from this position of being the expert on building your network. Right. I was starting it as being like, I remember somebody used this illustration and it made sense to me at the time. They were just like, look, you don't have to start creating content around something that you're already an expert about. There's a version of this where you can be the captain of the ship and you're just the one at the helm leading the crew to the discovery point. It's like, look, I don't really know how to network either, but I know that it's really important. And the reason that it meant so much to me at the time was that when I left that world that I grew up in, that like kind of religious bubble I grew up in, all of my relationships were there.
Right.
Like everything, you know, because I went to school there, I went to church there, my youth group, like my school teachers were my basketball coaches, were my youth leaders, like everybody was all the same. It was a bubble. My friends were there. The parents of my friends were there. My entire network existed within that community and that culture. Mm-hmm. And when I took a step outside of that, I tell people there was three groups of people that when I left. There's the people who actively rooted against me and wanted me to fail because they didn't want any version of success outside of the version of success that they thought was successful. And then, and I would say that was probably more of a fringe group. I hope anyway, that was a fringe group.
Yeah.
I would say the largest group of people was probably the people that just didn't care. They were like, look, you're not doing what we want you to do anymore. So good luck at what you're doing, but we're not going to help you. We're not going to give you any resources. We're going to like not make it easier for you. There's nothing we can do about it. And then there's like the small group of people that were like genuinely my friends. But those people grew up the same way that I did. So that there was nothing they could help me with. They didn't have a rich dad that could just like give me some advice on how to build a business. They grew up exactly the same way that I grew up. Arguably, like at least my parents were like more business minded or money minded, or at least like had good discipline with their money and stuff. Like if anything, I had a little bit of an advantage on them. I didn't have anything that could help me, is my point, when I was getting started in business. Like, nobody could help me. Even the people who did want to help me didn't have much to add. Mm-hmm. So when I started the show, it was literally like a battle cry for myself. Like, I needed to build my network, because I was like, if I have any chance of learning how to build a multi-million dollar business, I have to get around people who've already done it.
Yeah.
Or else I'm going to be trying to do this thing by myself for the next decade or two. And that doesn't sound like fun at all. Mm-hmm. Sounds like a lot of mistakes. It sounds like I'll be beating my head against the wall for two decades before I figure anything out. And so I was like, I have to go get around people who've done this types of thing, done these types of things, but I just don't know how to do that. And I went to, like, I did what everybody says you should do when you go network. That's the problem, is there's too much misinformation out there where people think that it's good information, but it's actually not good information. And it's like, go to the networking mixers, go to the chamber meetings, and go to the, you know, whatever, or the BNI groups or whatever. And not to talk crap on any of those groups, they have their purpose and they have their place. But if you're trying to connect with, like, with people who are doing massive things, I started realizing very quickly that none of those people were there. Hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would go to these groups and it was just like, oh, it's just like a bunch of insurance agents pitching each other that have been in the same market for 25 years. And they continuously make $112,000 a year. And it was just like, that's a version of life. And if that's the version of life that you want to live, great, go for it, do your thing. But it's not what I want to be doing. I want to, like, expand and grow and, like, 10X what I'm doing in the next couple of years, right? 100X what I'm doing in the next couple of decades. And I know this is not the place where I'm going to be able to find it. So I was like, how are these people connecting with each other? Because there obviously are. All the top guys know each other. All the top people that are in the space,
they're all friends.
They're all connected. They hang out. So clearly they don't just, like, table networking and just decide not to do it. Yeah. They just don't do it the way that it's been traditionally taught that we should be doing it. So Build Your Network kind of became this, like, investigative journalism discovery process of me trying to figure out how people got connected without slapping on a name tag,
right?
Printing off 1,000 new business cards and going to the cocktail mixer. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So good. So I like your story too, because I want people to hear you didn't have a network. So instead of complaining about not having a network, you just did something about it. And I think a lot of times people will use that as an excuse of, like, well, I grew up here, you know, or I, where I'm from, they don't do this. Or the people that are around me, we don't. I'm like, listen, I live in a small town in Wisconsin. Like, there is no reason you cannot be connected or be traveling to events or podcasting, things like that. So I think it's really important for people to see that you didn't have it and you did something about it. So what is something you would tell somebody who wants to get started growing their network to start doing this? Like, where do you start?
For me, if you want a super practical piece of advice, because this translates to anybody, it's across state lines, country lines. You could be in a small town in the middle of nowhere. You could be in the center of New York City. I genuinely believe that if I didn't have a podcast, my network would be 1/10 of what it is today.
Yeah.
The podcast was, I tell people all the time, like, everybody should have a podcast. Even if you have no intention of monetizing content or building a massive audience, it's literally just for what you and I are doing right now.
Completely.
Like, you know, like, we've never sat on a call before and talked to each other, but by the end of this conversation, you'll know exactly what I do and I'll know exactly what you do. And we'll have built rapport for 45 minutes on an interview, had some fun, talked about some things. And if we happen to run into each other at an event, and sometimes it's going to be like, oh, Stacey, what's up? And it's like, oh, Travis, hey, how's it going? You know? And it's like, oh, we have a beginning relationship here, because we connected on a podcast. But if you would have just, like, hit me up and been like, hey, Travis, can we talk? I've been like, no, we can't, because, like, my schedule's full of other stuff to do. I can't just, like, talk to people who just reach out and be like, hey, let's talk. But if it's like, hey, let's talk and record it and put on a podcast and I'll share it to my audience, now it all of a sudden gets put on my calendar by my assistant.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? And I started realizing that really early on, that people who were strapped for time, who weren't willing to jump on a literally 3-minute phone call. When I started reaching out to people, there are two people in particular that I remember at the very beginning. They were pretty big names to me at the time. Mm-hmm. And I reached out to them and asked them for a 3-minute phone call, because I was like, this is a much smaller ask than coming on my podcast. You know, it was like, hey, can I get 3 minutes of your time? I just want to ask you one question about networking. And they both responded and said no. One of them said, hey, I run a mastermind group where people pay $40,000 a year to be in it, and they get one-on-one calls with me. It wouldn't be fair to just give you a free one-on-one call just because. And I was like, okay, that's fair. And the other guy was like, yeah, don't do that. I was like, oh, okay. So he asked me, why don't you just ask it in the email and I'll respond. So I asked him a question in the email. He responded. But then both of them, either I forget if I asked again or said something about my podcast, or they noticed it in my email signature, but both of them offered essentially to come on the podcast to talk about it. And I was like, wait. So you're going to say no to a 3-minute phone call, but you're going to say yes to a 35-minute interview that I can publish and share your name with my name, build my credibility, build my audience, offer better, valuable content to my audience. You're going to do all that for free, but you're not going to do a 3-minute phone. Like it was an immediate realization to me that I was like, I need to be doing like, this is a secret weapon. It's a tool to use to get into doors that I would normally not be able to get in. So if you're starting absolutely from scratch, like when you reach out to people, the reason you're not getting responses is that you don't have a compelling enough reason to connect with you. Like the pick your brain or virtual cup of coffee thing, it's just never going to work with people who are busy. Because if they answered all the people who asked for that, all they would do is jump on pick your brain calls. And that doesn't sound fun for either party. Right. So yeah. You have to give people a reason to respond to you. And having a podcast, if you don't have much else to offer, is a really great way to get people to respond to you at first. Yeah. So start a podcast, even if it's nothing but the sake of connecting with people.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of people will ask me like, hey, should I do a podcast? I'm just starting. Should I do one? And I'm always like, I wouldn't do it to make money or get visibility, but the one thing I would do it for is to, like you said, connect with people that would never say yes to you in any other capacity. Yeah. And I remember when I started and I had no list, no following, I was shocked how many people would still say yes to me. I mean, some bigger names where I'm like, wow, I can't even believe I just got a yes. And I think anybody getting started can still start to leverage some of those names to build up bigger names, right? And to be able to, like you said, kind of use that credibility to say, hey, we've already had XYZ in the podcast. Would you be interested? And I just kind of kept swapping out those names, the bigger credibility we got on the show.
Yep.
So I really think that's an amazing, just the way that you're putting it into play here. I also think too, if somebody is a brick and mortar and you want to connect with, like, it's so important to be having a network in your community. I mean, half the time I want to do something with my brick and mortar, I need somebody who's on like the city council. Like I need those people to be on my side to know what I'm trying to do. And you're not going to get to talk to any of those people, but I guarantee if you called up the mayor and said, hey, would you like to come on my podcast? You could probably talk to the mayor. Like you could probably talk to anybody locally too. So I think this could be used in whether it's an online business or a brick and mortar business, any type of business. Yeah.
It's easier for brick and mortar. Like right. I tell people this all the time, like real estate agents drive me crazy on this one. Cause I'm just like, this is such the obvious move. If you're start a freaking podcast.
Yeah.
Interview all, like make a list of every single business in your area that's doing over $250,000 a year. Like get data somewhere, make a list of all those people, go to all the owners of all of the biggest local businesses in your area and ask every single one of them to come on your podcast. Yeah. Go to all of the hosts of the like AM radio shows that are sponsoring the local farmers market or fairs. And get those hosts on your podcast. Like go, like just interview all of the biggest, well-connected, most recognized names. Like if there's people that are on your local billboards where you live that are just like all over the billboards selling whatever, like, you know, they're the lawyer selling whatever car accident, you know.
Yeah. Okay, you're making me want to start a local podcast and I cannot do that right now. So I'm trying to not get shiny object syndrome, but I really do think it could be such a good idea. Like I wasn't even thinking the radio and like things like that. There's just so many people in your area that would say yes to that.
The
and
local building celebrities.
Those connections. Oh my goodness. 100%.
Local celebrities have a lot of weight in your local area, but nobody else knows who they are.
Right.
So they don't have people reaching out. They're not like international speakers. Like they're the local, you know, radio DJ that the 12,000 people in this area listen to every day on their way to work. Yeah. And they happen to be on like 12 billboards on Main Street. So like everybody in that area knows who they are. But if you take a step outside of that town, nobody knows who they are. So they don't get like, they're not as unreachable and famous as you think they are.
Right.
And if you're in that local area, like it's so much easier to build massive authority in a local area than it is to do it on a national,
you know. Right. Place. Absolutely. Okay. So good. So one of the big reasons, or I should say one of the big ways that I grow my podcast is by guest podcasting on other people's podcasts. So do you want to talk about how, like why you guys like preach this, you practice it as well, but why does that happen? Like, can you kind of give more details on that?
Yeah. I remember when I was starting my show, there's a guy named John Lee Dumas, who is a mentor of mine and now is like an investor, advisor, partner in my company. Hmm. And at the time I was asking him like, hey, how do you grow your podcast audience? And he said, something that was the most simple explanation that you'll ever hear. And, but it makes complete sense. And I've done it ever since. And he said, podcast listeners listen to podcasts. And I was like, no duh, John, what does that have to do with my question on your podcast? He was like, the point is don't spend your time advertising on Facebook and Instagram and Google and all these other places to get podcast listeners, because podcast listeners' behavior is different than a social media consumer. You know, podcast listeners tend to be higher educated. They tend to have higher household income. They tend to be searching self-education more often. Like, they tend to have all these different attributes. Like, you can't base the character behavior of people who listen to podcasts to people who are scrolling through TikTok, for instance. Mm-hmm. So the best way to advertise your podcast is by getting in front of other people while they're listening to a podcast. So podcast advertisements, podcast feed swaps, collaborations, and then most importantly, being interviewed on other podcasts. The reason why that one's the most important is because typically when people listen to podcasts, they listen to 5 to 7 podcasts that's in like their weekly rotation, and they just like kind of switch between those shows. In order to get into somebody's rotation, you have to earn some sort of trust or some sort of reason for them to do it. A lot of people aren't like just constantly searching through iTunes and scrolling to find a new podcast. They listen, I think like 70-something% of people say they listen to a podcast because somebody recommended it. And who better to recommend a new podcast than the person that they already listen to all the time? And so if you want to get more podcast listeners, hands down best, like most efficient way to get good quality listeners, not like mass volume where 80% of them are going to drop off after the first week, is by being a guest on other podcasts, because the host is somebody that those listeners already know, like, and trust that much. And that host is basically doing nothing but edifying you for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour, however much time you have that up with that person. And so the people who come over to your show from there are going to come because they like you. They listen to you for 45 minutes. If they don't like you, they're not going to come over. And fine. Like, you know, like, we're talking for however long we're going to be talking. It's like, if somebody can get to the end of this interview and not be like, I hate that Travis guy, get his voice out of my head, then like, that's probably a good thing for me. You know, and the people that are listening to me being like, man, I totally vibe with that. I'm on board, or I had a similar experience, or we relate on a certain level. And those people come to my audience from there. Like, they're listeners because they already know what I'm about. They already listened to me for a long time, and they can already get a glimpse of whether or not they're going to like me if they could continue to give me some of their time. Yeah. And so you have to understand that every listener is like that. Every minute of a listener's time is earned. And so if you're not doing a good enough job on those shows, they're not going to come over and listen to you. But if you are doing a good enough job, and if they relate to your story in particular, because not everybody's going to relate to you or like you, the people who are going to be like, man, I love this person.
Mm, yeah, stick around so a good.
More. So gotta go get booked on other people's shows.
We just, I was doing a marketing training inside of one of my programs, and I said, where did you first hear me? Like, the first time you ever heard my name, where was it? And everybody posted in the chat, and all but 2 people said somebody else's podcast. Mm.
Incredible.
We're already making sure I'm guest podcasting and all of that, but that just made me go, I need more. Like, yeah. If that is where my clients are starting the journey from somebody else, and like you said, they already trusted that person. And exactly. Now this person's interviewing me, and now they're jumping over to mine, and now they're getting warmed up, and eventually they're buying. And it was just such an eye opener of like, oh my goodness, I need to be doing this 10 times more.
Marketing is a relationship.
Yeah.
That's all it is. You have to move people from, they have no idea who I am, to they now know who I am. Now they kind of like me a little bit. Now they trust me a little bit. Now they fully trust me and they're willing to buy anything that I have to say. That's like the ascension of, right, from somebody who doesn't know you to being a super fan who's willing to support any project that you do because they know that you're going to over deliver and there's always going to be value.
Yeah.
Right? Like, those are the Gary Vaynerchuk's of the world. They have an audience full of super fans, people who are just like, I'll buy your book. Even I'll buy 25 copies of your book, even if I have zero intention of reading them or giving them away, just because you've added this much value to me over the course of my career. And I just want to support something you're doing. That's a super fan. And that happens over a long period of time. The best way to make people ascend into being a super fan, the fastest way possible, is through guesting on other podcasts. Typically, like, even if you're running ads or something like that, it's like you get 3 or 4 impressions. You know, like we I think on our ad campaigns, we have it set to like 6 or 7 on frequency. So like, we want people to see the ad 6 or 7 times. And then a lot of times, like, that's not even enough times for them to click on the ad.
I know.
Right. But then if they do click on the ad, it's like, they got to click on the ad. Then they got to send, enter their email information. And then if they don't take the action I want them to take, whether it's buying a little course or applying for a program or whatever, then they jump onto my email list. Then on my email list or my text list, I got to send them value over the course of 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 6 months before they're ready to buy something. And then they do buy something. And then it's like, okay, how did this experience go with me buying this, like maybe this low ticket thing that I'm going to try this out with Travis, see what he's about.
Yeah.
Buy this $19 thing or whatever. And then it's like, man, well, they better over deliver on that or else I'm not going to give you $1,000. I'm not going to give you $20,000. I'm not going to give you $40,000, whatever it is. Right. But that process takes a lot of time to build that relationship with people because it's just a small amount of time that you're spending with them on every part of the relationship, right? It's like they see an ad, they watch it for 12 seconds and go, okay, let me click in, enter my email. They read half of your emails for 2 weeks. And then they read a third of your emails for 2 weeks. And they read 1/8 of your emails for 16 weeks. It's just like these really tiny interactions over a really long stretched out period of time. It's more difficult to build a relationship that way. However, again, me and you've been sitting here talking for whatever, 20, 30 minutes. If somebody's still listening, like I've already spent more time with the people that are still listening to this episode than I would have spent with them if they subscribed to my email list 4 months ago.
Right.
And we're doing it in 20 minutes, 30 right. minutes, 40 minutes. Yeah. So that know, like, and trust happens almost instantaneously on a podcast as a guest. Versus, you know, any other form of marketing that you're going to be using in your business. Not to say that any of those shouldn't be used, right? Because we do all that too.
Do it, yeah.
But this is definitely one of those ones I think is often overlooked.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm doing all the things like you said too, but I know where a bulk of it is coming from. Now, okay, so getting your own podcast is a great way to build your network. Getting on other people's podcasts, great strategy to, you know, kind of use their credibility, get people to find you, all of that. Do you tell your clients to try to do both? Like, do you think they both go hand in hand?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if you can do both, it's just like some of my clients, like just are like, I'm running this multi 8-figure, yeah. 9-figure business. Like I'm not going to start a podcast. I can't do it. Like, okay, well at least then go get booked on other shows.
Right.
But if you can do both, definitely do both. Here's what I think. I think having your own show brings you credibility. I think getting on other people's show brings you authority, and both of them are super important. And credibility brings more authority, and authority brings more credibility, and they both kind of work hand in hand.
Yeah.
But when I have somebody, like when I have, you know, I had a childhood hero of mine, Shaq, on my show, two, three months back. Okay. And like having Shaquille O'Neal on my show, that brings me massive credibility.
Oh, insane.
If I were on Shaquille O'Neal's show, that would bring me massive authority, right? Like both of them are important. Both of them do different jobs. I need and want both of those things. So I want to bring on the best guests to continue to increase my credibility. And I want to get booked on the best shows to continue to increase my authority. So like Bigger Pockets, real estate podcast, 300,000-400,000 downloads an episode. It's crazy. The audience that they have over there. When I had Brandon Turner on my show, that brought me credibility, right? People know who Brandon Turner is. I brought him on my show that brought me credibility, but it didn't really do much for my business directly.
Right.
Because there was not any additional traffic. There wasn't somebody being like, you should work with Travis. But when I went on Bigger Pockets, that brought me it like 5X my podcast audience overnight.
Wow.
It resulted in hundreds of thousands of dollars in business for my consulting business, my coaching business at the time, because it brought me the authority and the traffic to go along with it. And like authority-based traffic is the best traffic in the world. It's the hottest traffic that there is. You know what I mean? So both are really important. And I would highly recommend doing both if you can do both.
Yeah. I mean, obviously it's more work. However, I just feel like they go so hand in hand. I mean, the amount of people that will say, do you want to do a podcast swap? Right.
Yeah. Right.
Meaning I'll come on your show, you come on mine. It's just so much easier to say yes to that. And some people, they'll come back when we say, hey, Stacey, we'd love to be on your show. They'll actually say, great, we'll do a podcast swap. Like that's what they come back with. It's kind of like take it or leave it. Right. And we're like, okay, let's do it. That would be great. And I will say too, we have somebody on our team that helps me get on shows. And I remember her saying to me, I don't know who this Travis guy is, but look at the people he's had on a show. So it literally is, we don't need to know who you are. And we're like, what is this guy doing? I mean, Shaquille O'Neal, like these are big players, and it brought you so much credibility without us knowing. And then of course we do our research to say, is this going to be a good fit? Will our audience get, you know, value from it? But it's like the hook to get somebody to go, let me check this person out, versus we get pitched all day, every day.
Exactly. Right? It's the differentiator.
Yeah.
It's the differentiator. It's like, you know, there's a bunch of people that can talk about a lot of the things that I talk about in terms of like online marketing or sales or any of those things, and probably are arguably more qualified to talk about those things. Right. But they also have the same exact resume as the other 14 people that pitched you this week.
Right.
Whereas if your team's looking at me, because you guys reached out to me or we reached out to you?
I don't even know.
I don't even know either. Okay. But here we are. But either way, what happened was...
neither of us know how we got hooked up.
Yeah. But we're here. We're okay. Here. But that's my point though, is like somebody's looked at that and they were like, boom, that's all I need to know.
Right.
Like your job is to decrease the amount of research necessary in order for people to say yes to you.
Yeah.
When I first started, people had to do a massive amount of research on me because you couldn't find anything. It's like, I'm on page 3 of Google for my own name. What I mean? Like, where do you hide a dead body? Best place to hide a dead body, page 2 of Google. So like, if I'm on page 3, I don't have much of a chance of like popping up and people being like, oh yeah, this guy's a joke. I can't even find him. Right now, if you search my name, I've done like 300 plus podcast interviews on other people's shows. We're coming up on 800 episodes of my show. So there's like over 1100.
It's crazy.
There's so much content to consume that now there's I did this live in front of an audience and one of the guys came up to me afterwards to let me know. I didn't even know at the time. I was just like, just Google my name. There's a lot of results. That was all my point was, is saying like, you used to Google my name. You couldn't find anything. Now you Google my name. And it's like nothing but my name. And he was like, yeah, I actually went to 12 pages before I found somebody that wasn't you.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, that's like, I didn't even know that was the case.
Yeah.
That's a lot of Google real estate to own. Yeah. Mostly because of being on other people's podcasts or my own podcast episodes coming up. But the point is like, if somebody hears my name and they're like, who wants this Travis guy about, and they Google me, they're at least going to be able to take it somewhat seriously and know that like, oh, he's been doing this for a while, or he's good at what he does, or like they're going to get a sense that like I have some baseline of credibility and that I'm somebody that's actually worth spending time with. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. Okay, Travis, this has been so good. I really think people are going to get so much value out of hearing kind of both sides of like why to do either starting their own, getting on guest podcasting or both, I should say. Anything else you want to share or like something you need them to know, especially if somebody's like, I just don't know if I want to start this, or is this really going to be worth it? Who's really going to come on my show when I'm brand new?
Yeah. So what's the advice for them, you're saying?
Yeah. Like what would you just, I know somebody's listening that doesn't have one and I want them to hear why this could be a huge asset
Get started guesting, not starting your own show.
Yeah. Either. I want to.
Okay. Either one. Okay. Yeah. Got it. So, I would get really clear anytime that I'm examining something like this. I get really clear on the why at the very beginning, like what's your goal over the next and zoom out the timeline, not what's your goal in 6 months, not what's your goal in 3 months, what's your goal in 5 years, what's your goal in 10 years, like 10-year goal, 5-year goal, 3-year goal, then 1 year, then 6 months. And these are always going to constantly be changing. Like clarity is never something that you're just going to like walk into one day, kind of what we talked about at the very beginning of this. Yep. But if you're not clear on what you want at the very beginning, it's going to be very difficult to make a solid decision because maybe you don't really care.
Right.
You know, like because people just kind of pounded in your head, like, oh, you should do this. You should do this. Everybody's got their opinion about what you should do and what you should be spending your time on. If at the end of the day, like you don't care about any of the stuff that we're talking about, no worries. Don't do it. But if you're at the point in your life where you're like, man, I know that I need to spend more time building my network because I just don't have a good, solid group of people around me that are like rooting for me. If you're looking around you and most of the people don't understand why you do what you do, most of the people are trying to talk you out of taking big risks or making big investments into yourself. Most of the people are trying to get you not to work and to go do something else. Or like if you're looking around and most people in your life are doing that, then it's probably a good sign that you need to level up the people that you're spending your time with. Not to say that you should kick those people to the curb. I'm just saying you can on purpose spend time with people who will make you a better version of yourself. If you're looking at that, it's like, man, how do I do that? I live in the middle of nowhere, Arkansas or Minnesota or whatever. And, you know, I can't just like go to downtown and meet a bunch of cool people. Start a podcast just to get to know the people. If you're listening to this and you're like, I'm a business owner and I'm scared of the recession. I don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, the last recession, I lost everything. And I think I'm in a similar position. I don't want to be in that position anymore. The best way to future-proof your business is to grow an audience. Look at like I don't know what's going to happen in the next downturn. I don't know how bad the next recession is going to be. I know that we're already really in one. I don't know how long it's going to be. I don't know how bad it's going to be. I don't know anything about it. But what I do know is that the people that will not struggle at all, in fact, the people that will do better in the recession, Gary Vaynerchuk, Grant Cardone, mm-hmm. Kevin Hart, The Rock, anybody that has a built-in audience that follows them, likes them, trusts them, searches for the next thing that they're doing because they want to be a part of it because they know it's going to be awesome. Those are the people who are absolutely not going to struggle. Like my prediction, Gary Vaynerchuk becomes a billionaire in this next recession because he has too much attention. There's too many people that want to do deals with him, and there's going to be too many deals to be had when everything's in, when everything's in the dumps and companies are pennies on the dollar and good hires are pennies on the dollar and businesses and real estate and stocks are pennies on the dollar. I think Gary will become a billionaire in this next recession. And there's not many people that are in a position to be able to do that. A lot of people are hedging and trying not to lose. But if you have audience, that doesn't go away in a recession. Right. In fact, it probably gets bigger because people are stopping spending money on a bunch of courses and coaching programs and they want the free stuff again. And mm-hmm. the people who have the best free content are going to win really big because they have the biggest audiences and they can support the most growth and they can have the most opportunity being given to them. And they're going to be connecting with all the people that still have the money because the people in the money with recessions are trying to buy attention. And if you have attention, you can sell attention to people with the money and make the money there. If you have attention, it's not going to go away. So like when I started my podcast, even when it sucked for a while, I knew I didn't have a good audience and I was questioning myself and why I was putting this much work into not having an audience. Even during all of that, it was like, I know that if I fast forward the clock, even if it takes me 20 years to build up an audience, one half of the size of Gary V's or one tenth of the size of Gary V's, I will never go hungry again. If I have an audience of people that care what I do, they know, like, and trust me enough to know that like, hey, whatever Travis does is going to over deliver on it.
Right.
You fast forward that clock, that's something that doesn't go away. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's like in a recession, besides like, I don't give investment advice in terms of like, you should buy real estate or buy stocks or get out of crypto or whatever. But what I will say is the three things that'll never go away and will always serve you, even in a recession, is your competencies, your skill sets or knowledge base, your network, and the attention that you have, the audience that you have. Mm-hmm. Those three things will not go away in a recession. Your audience, your network, and your competency. Those things will go away. So the more that you can invest in attention, the more you can invest in your competency and into gaining more knowledge or perfecting your skill sets, the more that you can invest into connecting with smart people and getting to know people who are doing massive things, who have a lot of authority or influence or attention or money, or they're influential people that are doing really big things in the world. The more you can do those three things, the more you're going to secure yourself against anything that's coming up in the future. And you can do all three of those things by being a guest on podcasts and by having your own podcast. You can build an audience and attention. You can build your network, and you can create more opportunities for you to gain knowledge and have more core competencies or add to your skill set. Yeah. One of the best ways that I've grown my knowledge base is through my own podcast, because I get to ask, it's essentially like a free coaching call. I get to sit here with a freaking billionaire sometimes and ask them questions that I'm curious about. Like if you're a regular person and you want to do that, you got to pay like 50 grand an hour or 100 grand an hour or freaking $500,000 an hour or whatever. Like,
or it's just a no that they would never do it. Right.
You would never even make it to the gatekeeper. Like, you would get stuck at the gatekeeper's gatekeeper. You know, you wouldn't even get to the gatekeeper who actually keeps the gate of the person that you're trying to get. Like, there's just so many things that prevent you from doing that, but having a podcast allows me to do that. Mm. Like, the knowledge that I've gained from having it, it's the perfect accountability partner to continue to make sure that I continue leveling up in my knowledge and my expertise. And so it gives you all of those things. And so if that's not enough to make you start a show, then maybe you're in the wrong thing. Maybe you're doing the wrong business, because it's going to bring all those things if you give over a long enough time horizon.
Yeah. And the skill set piece. So I am shocked how much I've used the skill set of interviewing. I mean, I remember the first time I was ever on live TV, I was so nervous and I was like, oh, it was just a podcast. Like it was completely the same thing just on camera. Right. And being able to show somebody that you can have a conversation and you can be put on the spot and answer a question, or there's a banter or whatever. I feel like I've gotten so many opportunities because people saw me on video or they saw the podcast and they saw the interviews. So that just kind of clicked when you said skill set. This is a skill set, being able to interview, being able to go back and forth. I was not good in the beginning. It takes time, but you got to start somewhere.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That communication skill will never leave you.
Yes.
It works in formal settings, and whether you're being interviewed on TV, interviewed on a podcast, or you're doing your own interviews or whatever, but also works extremely well in informal settings. When you're like when you're with a new person, you're in a quote unquote networking conversation at an event and you don't really know what to talk about. Right. Most of the time, you're really, really, really safe if you can ask good questions.
Okay. I love
asking
it.
Asking good questions is 80% of networking conversations.
Right.
It's literally most of the thing, because most people like talking about themselves. And if you can ask good enough questions to continue getting them to talk about themselves and opening up to you, then that's how you search for commonality. You find the commonality. Like if you ask enough discovery questions, like if you and I sat down and I just asked you questions over 2, 3, 4 minutes, we'd find a ton of commonalities. And then those things drive the rest of our conversation. And it's a connection that we're both going to walk away remembering. You know what I mean? Like if we sat down, we didn't know each other, we're at some event, and then we're talking about whatever sales or tell me about how your sales system's set up. And you're like, oh, I'm actually in this program. I'm like, oh, I'm in the same program. Like we're talking about before. It's like, oh, okay. Well, do you know this person? Do that person? Oh, crazy. Oh, did you check this out? Oh, you watch my VSL. Oh, that's crazy. Yeah. What does yours look like? You know what I mean? Like the ability to ask those questions comes from being an interviewer, where you have to be good at asking questions. And when I started, I sucked. I thought that was going to be the easiest part of starting a show. I was like, oh yeah, you interview people, you ask questions. And then I did my first like dozen interviews and I was like, I am not good at this. Like this is an actual skill that you have to learn how to perfect. Yeah. I was literally just reading questions off.
Oh, me too. I was so bad.
It was terrible. It was terrible. But you learn, you grow, and you get better at it over time.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so you do Done For You, where you can book people on shows, so they need to know that. And then tell me about your software. I did not understand the software piece, and I want to know like what that looks like.
Sure. Yeah. So it actually all started with the software. And it's a SaaS marketplace model. So essentially what it is anybody with a story to tell can go on there and sign up as a guest. It's free. You can go sign up and be like, hey, I'm Stacy. I want to be interviewed on podcasts. These are my areas of expertise. Here's my media bio. Here's my photos and headshots for promotions. Here's past podcasts I've been a guest on, past YouTube channels I've starred on. Here's past publications I've been featured in. Here's my social links. Here's my channels. Here's everything you need to know about me in order to make an informed decision of whether or not to interview me. You can put that profile up completely for free inside of the Guest You Marketplace. And shows can find you, pitch you, and book you. You can have a pitching option for free where you go on shows for free, or you can have a booking option where people actually pay you to be a guest on their show. Kind of like a guest, like a speaking fee, but for
that is actually becoming more common, where people like saying to me, can we put this person on your show? We'll pay this much. I'm like, whoa, like what? Like all of a sudden I feel like I'm getting pitched that a lot.
So now we have the opposite side, which is exactly that. So we have the guest marketplace and we have the show marketplace. And as a show host, you can go there and you can list your show and you have the same stuff, you know, your media bio, your profile, all those things, anything that a guest would need in order to make an informed decision of whether or not they want to be on your show. Okay. Then you can set it up to be pitched for free, or you can set it up as a booking fee. That's just like, hey, if you want to be a guest on my show, it's $500. It's $100. It's $1,000. And we have like pricing recommendations for what we think people should be charging. We've paid out over $300,000 to creators this year. Close to $350,000 to creators this year, on both the guest and show side. Okay. So we have the marketplace side. And then basically, if you want to be able to pitch people, so if you don't want to pay for bookings, you just want to go pitch people because you think you have a really great story or you think you have a really awesome show or whatever, then you pay $97 a month to be a pro member, and you can pitch up to 50 people every single month on being a guest on your show or on letting you be a guest on their show. So we've had people book 30 appearances in a month before for $97.
Amazing.
And then we also did Done For You, which is essentially the same exact thing. We just do everything for you. You don't have to do
it. Right. And somebody might be in a place where it's like, they just need somebody to do this. They don't have the time. They would rather just spend the money and get right. So
I would say if you're over seven figures, it doesn't make sense for you to try to get it, because there's so much industry knowledge. It's not just about like going through and pitching people. It's about like, well, I don't think that show's going to be a good fit because I know that person. I know, like, I've just been doing this for so long and our team is so dialed in, where it's just like, look, if you're doing over seven figures, just pay our agency. We'll do it all for you.
Absolutely.
If you're doing less than seven figures, like really, if you're doing less than $500,000, it probably makes more sense for you to just like hire a VA or train somebody on your team, or you do it yourself and just $97 a month, constantly have a flow of shows coming in.
Yeah.
We help out anybody at any point of the process.
What was the link again? Where can they go find out more details?
Guestio.com. Perfect. Is where you can find everything about the software. If you have questions on the agency, just email me, travis@guestio.com.
Amazing.
Guestio.com. travis@guestio or just guestio.com for the software.
Amazing. Any other place they should check you out, or is that really the main hub to go?
Yeah, I mean, like my personal website has basically everything, all my social links, as Guestio, links to everything else that we do. So travischappell.com is fine. And then if you're talking about social, I probably spend the most time on Instagram, which is just at Travis Chappell on Instagram.
Amazing. Thank you for your time. This was such a good interview. I appreciate you being here and sharing your expertise.
Happy to be with you guys. Thanks so much for having me, Stacey. This is fun.
And that's a wrap. If you're loving the Well-Oiled Operations podcast, then I know you would love our Well-Oiled Mastery Program. It's a 6-month program for you and your team to help you get the business running like a well-oiled operation. We pull back the curtain and share all of our systems when it comes to marketing, fulfillment, and operations. We guarantee to increase your profit margins while reducing your time by 25% or your money back. Head over to welloiledoperations.com and get your business running like a well-oiled operation today.